I don't have a funny and creative cold open. I don't really have a lot of jokes right now. Auburn takes down NC State 17-13, exactly the way that you drew this up and expected this to go in this weekend that has gone exactly to chalk. Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law here inside Plainsman Park live to talk about this game. Have you ever called a regional as wild as this one so far?
No, and we're only two games into it. Only three total games in the regional so far.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely nuts. 30 runs, 32 hits in the game. Had to use Jackson Sanders. But, like, would he have been able to finish the game if Dre doesn't power through and get into the sixth inning? I don't know. There's so much you could talk about and analyze from this game today.
Yeah, the biggest thing to me, and it's been the story of the regional so far, is Auburn coming into this with what a lot considered the best pitching staff in the entire country. And so far, Milwaukee and NC State both kind of having their number and forcing Auburn to go to plans B, C, D, and E. To your point, you get a great start. You get 105 pitches, I believe, out of Alvarez. And then you go to non-Jackson Sanders options, right? You try Garrett Brewer. You try Griffin Graves. Yeah. Graves has kind of a thumb issue, has to come out of the game. I'm assuming that was a blister. It's kind of what it looked like.
Yep.
And so you go to Jackson Sanders. I think the question everybody's asking is, assuming you win tomorrow morning with Alex Petrovic, which is not a guarantee given the way the regional's gone, what do you do in game four? Are you bringing somebody back, or are you starting somebody who hasn't started for you yet this season? It's the problem we did not expect to have in this regional.
No, and that's why it's so critical to win the first game, because those first three options for Auburn have been as good as anybody else's all year long, Marciano, Alvarez, and Petrovic, and especially with Sanders and Cormier and Hetzler coming out of the bullpen. Those first six have been elite. So if you could have gone, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, and been done, that would have been ideal. Now you can't do that. Now, so I don't know. That's the long answer.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do. If you get to the second game tomorrow, we're all assuming Petrovic is that guy who gives him the best chance in the first game tomorrow. But here's the flip side of that. Nobody else really has a good idea for what they would do for game three, four, five. Yeah, maybe even three, four, five. And, at that point, you love Auburn's bats.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for what's happened to the pitching these first two games. Now, Milwaukee scored double-digit runs in eight straight games. Mm-hmm. And NC State is they were the best hitting team
coming
into the regional. Could hit for power, could run. And they had really good at-bats. Butch Thompson also mentioned that it is May at Plainsman Park. The humidity has been incredible.
Yeah.
It adds about 30 feet to any ball that's hit to the outfield. So your offense is going to play a little better during this regional because of the way the weather has affected things. But, I don't know. That's about all I could come up with. These two teams, to their credit, good hitting teams, and they've been on the pitching these first two games.
Yeah, it's been – and I talked about this with Marciano. It really felt like they had something. They had a tell on him.
Yeah.
It was a lot of the second pitch of the at-bat, a couple of the first pitch of the at-bat. Like, they had an idea of what the sequencing would be.
Yep.
And so, they figured that out. The thought that I kind of selfishly had is, have some of these guys, whether it's a Marciano from Friday, a Graves from today, have these outings, these unsuccessful outings, I guess, been short enough where if you get to a Monday game, are they back in play? And I think that's, I'd love to keep talking about that, but I think to your point, you have to get there first. You have to win tomorrow morning. I say tomorrow morning, it's at 2 p.m., right?
Right.
Right. Yeah, I just said tomorrow
morning. Might as well be morning.
Might as well be morning. Exactly.
Might as well.
Quick turnaround. But I do feel like this game was one of the better ones we've seen from the offense as far as being able to get you that lead. Because I don't think you can talk about the pitching plan for game three without acknowledging the role the offense can play in that.
Yeah.
A lot of it, in my head, I thought, if you can build a big enough lead, you can save, a Ryan Hetzler. And maybe try to use him as that starter in game two, like you saw in Hoover when he gave you five innings.
To do that, though, Lindsey, somebody's got to step up who hasn't been used in that kind of role.
Yeah.
Let's say Petrovic gives you six or seven tomorrow, and you've got a big enough lead. Somebody's got to want the ball and go out and execute so that you could save Hetzler.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and this is just like the coaching mentality is, you got to get there first. You don't have anything to figure out if you don't get there. And ultimately, Sanders was the result of that today. You tried two other guys.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it done. So it had to be Sanders. So now, like, the fact that we're even talking about it is because they did go to Sanders and he got you there. So, yeah, it would be great. And I think they'll try to do that if the offense comes out and does. And I think it's going to have to do it. Butch Thompson said in our broadcast interview after the game, that's what this region has become.
Yeah.
Like, through two games, you understand now it's going to be the offense that's going to have to carry you, whether it's the ballpark playing differently or teams locking in a little more. I don't know, but I know it's going to have to be an offensive kind of thing if Auburn's going to come all the way back and get out of this regional.
And it did feel kind of oddly. It felt like today was a better offensive day and a better power performing day because it didn't feel like they were trying to hit for power. It just felt like the goal was quality contact in the gap, line drives, and they carried. Whereas yesterday, it felt a little bit like they were trying to hit home runs and maybe not, you know, warning tracks a lot.
The early deficit does that to you, where you try to press a little bit. Now I'm trying to yank everything. I'm trying to get everything back at once. Today didn't feel that way, and I'll give you a good example. Eric Guevara, one of the team leaders, had three walks today.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
He had 16 walks all year before today's game. 16 walks in, what, 50-some-odd, almost 60 games.
Yep.
And today he had three. Much more patience.
Yeah, because you have a lead.
Because you have a lead. Yeah. And even in his first at-bat, he walked in his first at-bat of the ballgame. His approach was just much more patient. Other guys up and down the lineup, Auburn had four players with three-hit games. Bingaman, Ballou, a couple of home runs.
Big for Ballou. He had one coming in into the game, I believe, and two more today. So
Ballou's played five games over the last 2 weeks. He's got hits in four of those five games. Really good to see somebody from an offensive perspective that is taking advantage of the opportunities that he's given.
Yep.
I think we'll see him again tomorrow, try to just continue what he's done the first two games.
Yeah, and this I keep wanting to think about the pitching. And to your point, Butch said it's an offensive-oriented regional now. I know it's a – if you win game one, you come right back and play game two, and it's almost, it's like 45 minutes. It's almost immediate, right? I believe, right?
I think it's 2 and 7.
Never mind.
It's 2 and 7. That's about 45 minutes if the game goes as long as this one did.
It's not incredibly long.
Right.
Part of me wonders if you do something where you do end up having to go to Ryan Hetzler and you don't use him a lot in that game and he's already hot. You've got, if it's a 45-minute delay, is that just one big long offensive inning and you can turn around and maybe let him start the next one? It almost feels a little bit of like a desperation move if you get to that point where you have to go to Hetzler and then you ask him to pitch the next game. But if this runs as long as today did, I feel like something like that. I feel like I've seen that in the regional before.
No, that's a really good thought. And I think you could absolutely see it, especially depending on how few or many pitches he has to throw. Is he only coming in the ninth inning? Is he throwing 14 pitches and then he's waiting an hour, hour and a half?
Yeah. That's your warm up. There you go. Bless you.
Excuse me.
There's so many permutations. I really feel like as much as we can try to do this, you're not going to know until you finish game one tomorrow.
And that's the hard part. That's regional play.
Yeah.
There's a plan A and then you better it's okay to have contingencies. You need a plan B, plan C. But so much of this is being able to adjust and coach on the fly.
Oh, plan A was probably out 5 minutes into game one.
Right. It was 14 pitches or 14 whatever pitches it was.
And you were down by six. And it's like, okay, well, now we got to adjust. So, I do think we've talked a lot on our show about the DH spot kind of rotating through a lot of guys. Taylor Bell is like in this region. Yep. He's done a lot of like hitting the bottom of the order, but he's been very productive. Does it feel like it's fluky from where you're sitting? Because from where I'm sitting, it feels like these are really good at-bats. He's kind of stepped up to another level here in the regional.
Yeah.
And he absolutely should probably be the guy going forward until proven otherwise when the season ends. I mean,
he's not done anything to lose the spot.
Right.
Batting in the number nine spot in the order. Auburn's needed more production. It hasn't gotten much from its DH spot.
Yeah.
And so when you give a freshman who, you know, pitchers don't really have a lot, there's not a book on Taylor at this point.
Like there is a Lucas Steele or somebody like that.
Like the other guys. Yeah. And so, he's had some success. He's jumped on pitches early in counts. Has shown good pull side ability. So, he's been productive and a really good way to turn that lineup over.
Yeah. Can we talk about the errors today?
Yeah.
Because we had one big inning. I think it's just like a five-run inning, six-run inning.
Yep.
And Alvarez ends up being charged with four earned runs,
yeah.
but it was actually eight or nine allowed off of him.
Yeah.
I think I would have been more surprised at those had Auburn. I'm sorry. They would have made more sense to me if Auburn was down and yeah. they were trying to like desperately stop the bleeding
yeah.
to get back into the game. But they had a lead at the time. And I know that at some certain extent, these are 21-year-olds.
Yep.
They're kids. They're in, you know, a high-pressure environment. First-time starter at shortstop, for instance, things like that. Yeah. But it just feels like that's not a typical Butch Thompson inning, the way right. that unfolds. And I can't just chalk it up. Was that random? Was that yeah. bad luck? Was that something Auburn did wrong to be prepared for that inning? It yeah. feels like it was just maybe some bad luck, game speeding up a little bit. But
yeah, that I feel like was fluky because we've got 60 games of evidence that would say that it was fluky mm-hmm. because yeah. you haven't seen that much. And in fact, the inning before Bingaman made the errant throw to second, there was another situation where there's a runner at third. Mm-hmm. He got the ground ball at first. And it was, I think there maybe were runners at the corners, and he didn't try to go to second.
Yeah.
Didn't try to come home and get the runner there. He just took the out. And mm-hmm. I think that made it 10-2 maybe at yeah. that point. And
traded out for a run. When you have a yeah. 9-run lead, you can do that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so I thought he showed the inning before that was the smart play.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going back and looking at it, his error, he would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to get the lead runner at second. Maybe try to turn two.
And really, like the way he fielded that ball, yep. momentum, he didn't really have any other options other than yeah. second. There was nobody at first base yet.
It would have been close. It yeah.
would have been close. But I do feel like some of that, too, was NC State gets some credit there because mm-hmm. that runner was getting to second rather quickly, had a good jump.
Yeah.
And so like that's the kind of thing we talk about, the little things like base running, and that's an area where it yeah. impacted Auburn's defense, and they got unearned runs out of it, and they ultimately extended the inning. Part of me can't help but think, if you end that inning, I think I counted 13 pitches earlier.
Yep.
Does that buy you one more inning on the back end
sure.
where you can save, you end up not doing the Brewer, Graves,
yeah.
Sanders trio, you end up cutting one of them out or something.
And yeah.
just that's,
or maybe they come in clean rather than in a pressure situation right. or, yeah. or what it, you know, what have you. I thought it was interesting that twice in this game, Everett Tiefert, Butch Thompson made the decision to go make a pitching change in an at bat with a 2-strike count.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting because that's against what they've done
mm-hmm.
all year long. Now I don't want to microanalyze it again. We got 60 games of showing what has worked.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting, maybe yeah. not important, but interesting
yep.
that they did that. And on that. Both occasions, the NC State hitters ambushed the first pitch and got yeah. base hits.
I think Graves had the one, too. It was like a fastball, middle,
yep.
kind of like a what you would expect to see to start an
yep.
at-bat and like get me over kind of thing, get into the game. And
yep.
he got it for the RBI. Just but like you said, not maybe not important, but interesting.
Yep.
I like how you worded that. Okay, so again, Auburn wins this one. 17-3, make sure I had the score right. 17-13. I haven't said it 10 times on the radio like you did. Thoughts about how do you feel going into tomorrow? Because yeah. I do think this is an uncomfortable situation for a lot of Auburn fans and mm-hmm. an unusual situation that we've not been in really at all this season, where we are the ones scrambling pitching-wise.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot what the teams we usually face are.
I would say this. I think everybody will be scrambling
okay.
pitching-wise. Now, okay. they may, you know, whether it's Milwaukee or whether it's UCF, they'll be on their third starter.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Auburn's bats against yeah. a third start. We've seen what Auburn has done in a lot of game threes
yeah.
this year, and it looks a lot like what you saw in this game today. Yeah. Maybe not to 17 runs, but
yeah.
And I don't know that it's fair to expect 8 runs in the first inning
yeah.
tomorrow. But
Bradlaugh guarantees 8 runs in the first inning.
But yeah,
yeah.
I like Alex Petrovic, especially if you get through that first.
Yep.
But, you know, I like Auburn's starting situation in their third game. And then if you get into a fourth game and you got to figure it out, that's somebody else with a fourth game and they yep. got to figure it out. And again,
makes sense.
I like the offense. It's not just Auburn that's in the position that it's in
yeah.
tomorrow.
Okay. Final thing before we get out of here. Have you ever called a game that ended on a pitch clock violation?
No, never. And it's interesting. Auburn has won 2 games in the last week, one on an ABS challenge and another on a pitch clock violation.
Yeah.
And if you're Elliot Avent, how just...
I was about to say.
I mean, he
gutting.
He threw his hat down and I'd be throwing other stuff.
Yeah.
Because gutting. I can't imagine that that's how anybody would ever want to end a career. Just a gutting it for a team that fought so hard and scratched and clawed for him the rest of the way. Thought it was really nice. Some of the Auburn players, even in their post-game interviews with us, had well wishes for the retiring NC State head coach.
Yeah, and I saw him and Butch kind of chatting beforehand and everything, and just as Butch always does, you know, welcoming them to the facility and everything. So that'll do it for the Barn Baseball Show. For the recap, we will not quite sure what the plan's going to be tomorrow. We know Auburn's going to play at least one game. Hopefully we play two. We will figure it out as we go along, but we will be right here with you. The Barn has the Barncast going on during the game.
I hope we do this again at like 11 o'clock tomorrow night and talk about a two-win day and 12 hours at the ballpark and all that.
That'd and then do it again fantastic. On Monday.
Yes, that'd
then,
be great.
Then do it again on Monday.
Yeah, we love it. Would anybody be here? Would anybody be here if we did that? Would you guys watch? If
leave it in the comments. Yeah.
Yeah, let us know if you'd be here tomorrow for that.
So for Brad Law, I'm Lindsey Crosby. This has been the Barn Baseball Show.